Hello and welcome back. Happy Boxing Day to those of you listening to this fresh off the tree. A big shout out to those of you who are having a tricky Christmas, because that often goes unsaid. I've had a few of those myself, and it can be particularly difficult when the world is pushing you into a template that you don't necessarily fit. And I've definitely found that hard. So thinking of those of you who are going through that right now, you're almost out of it. Boxing Day, the fact you're listening to this probably means you're on a train on the way home somewhere, or maybe going somewhere less scary, or maybe worse. Who knows? Anyway, it'll be over soon. In fact, this template is something that I talked about with this week's guest, the incredible actress Jenna Russell, who is probably, she's known for lots of things. Recently, she reprised the role of Michelle Fowler in EastEnders. She's been on lots of telly over the years. But she's also an incredibly successful stage actress. She won an Olivier for her role in Sunday in the Park with George, which is how I know her, because my husband produced that show, which went on to go on Broadway, for which she was nominated for a Tony. So, you know, she's the real deal. We talk quite a lot about Sunday in the Park with George, because she was performing that when she was trying for her first baby and when she was first pregnant. And it's, as you probably know, a Sondheim musical based on the Seurat Pointilliste painting. Now, it is worth mentioning that there is a slight issue with this episode, not with Jenna, obviously, but I was sold a dud power cable, which created an enormous hum on the recording. And I gave it to a sound engineer who actually said it was the worst he'd ever heard, which in some ways is a result. It's a bit like, you know, showing a doctor something and they actually look in any way concerned. It's kind of what we really want, isn't it? At the end of the day. And yet this buzz was not what I wanted. The consequence being we have removed the hum, but there is quite an echoey sound on the recording. So it might sound a bit strange at first. I've listened to it several times and I've got used to it, thanks to Jenna, who is just brilliant and interesting and funny. And so I hope you think so too. I hope it's not too much of a barrier for your enjoyment. And I hope you enjoy this episode. When Jenna came in to talk to me, we naturally started talking about Christmas. And of course, I was digging around, trying to dig the dirt. You know, what goes wrong on your Christmas day? Well, as it turns out, nothing, because she actually has a really good relationship with her family. And because of that, she said often Christmas can just feel like any other day.
I do that thing of going, oh, don't buy a bloody turkey.
Yes.
I never liked turkey. Why are we getting a turkey? Just get a chicken.
Yeah.
And before you know,
you're just having roast chicken.
Before you
and
know,
it's the same as any other day.
Yeah.
That was funny, actually, because that's something my stepmother said, because my sister was saying, I just want to be, you just want to be able to have, you know, just sit in my pyjamas all day. And my stepmother, you know, with all the, and she doesn't rise in this way. She went, for me, Christmas is not about sitting in my pyjamas all day. So for her, it's about wearing something nice and making an effort and kind of, you know. And you just think, well, both are valid.
Yeah.
But someone's going to win or lose, you know.
I just hate getting dressed up for anything.
In fact, I resent it.
I get a bit angry when it's press nights.
But you must have to do that a lot.
Yeah, but I kind of avoid them. I live out of London.
Yes.
I honestly, for press nights, I mostly pop in, go, hello, everyone. And then I
run
go.
Away. What about your own press nights?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I see.
When I was about 18, there was a press night. I was in a show. Howard Goodall had written this show called Girlfriends that I'd done at Oldham Coliseum, and we transferred it into the West End about a year later. And we reopened the Playhouse Theatre because it hadn't been opened for years.
Right.
And it was a terrible financial flop. It didn't do very well at all.
Yeah.
But I remember I was 20, if I was that, 19, 20, and I'd taken my kind of party dress to the dry cleaners at the end of the road down by the embankment tube.
Yeah.
It used to be a dry cleaners. Yeah. And I popped it in there and I thought, I'll pick that up on the day. The day of our press night was the night of those storms in the 80s. You remember those storms?
Yeah, I do.
Where everyone's roofs came off. Yeah. And I went to work, got off at the tube station to get my outfit that I was going to wear for my press night.
Yeah.
And the place was shut because no one had come into work. So I went to my first big proper... And it was, you know, in those days they used to do big parties. I was wearing jeans and a T-shirt.
Oh,
and I, you know,
no.
I was 19, 20, yes, when you really wanted, and everyone else was in sparklies and dresses, but that has kind of made me think I can't be asked. You can have a good time in your trainers and jeans.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I have to go to a few, and it's so funny with me because I think I'm really making an effort.
Oh, do you? And do you?
No, but I do.
Okay.
But there's something, like, I'm just not genetically predisposed to be able to be smart. I mean, my mother would always, like, follow me with a hairbrush and be going, why have you got ladders in your tights? And literally just bought them, just drove her nuts. And I think in my head, I'm the smartest anyone could possibly be. And then I walk in and it's a huge pressure on actresses, actually. And especially now with sort of social media and stuff where it's instant, you know, people are, that's how they
promote themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they have to take a selfie of themselves at that, you know, so they look phenomenal.
And there's you me. In your black top.
Yeah, thinking, like literally thinking, oh, I'll buy a smart top. There was one recently that was very bling and full of like drag queens and stuff. And I literally that day did exactly that. I was like, I'm gonna make an effort tonight. And I bought like a black top.
And with a sparkly.
And maybe like not heels, but just not trainers. Do you know what I mean? And I was like.
A kitchen heel.
Yes, exactly. I was like, ooh, or a boot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, everyone in the tube must be thinking,
what's that crazy lady doing?
And then I walk in and I go, no, this is
nice. No, you look completely underdressed.
I
do
boring.
It all the time. I try and put on a nice coat now.
Yes.
A colourful coat and a scarf, because that's usually what you get photographed in.
Yes.
And then underneath you can be
then
in
your
pyjamas.
So we're here to talk about your experience of parenting. That sounds like it's a medical... I guess it starts off as a medical thing.
Yes.
So... What propelled you to want to have a child in the first place?
Well, I was kind of one of those people, and I'm sure a lot of people, especially in our profession, you know, think, I don't really want kids. I had never had that burning desire to, or even saw my future with children in it, really, until I met my other half. And suddenly I was like, oh. It'd be nice to have children. It'd be nice to be a mum with this person in my life, which I guess is a healthy way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And then after about 4 years of us being together, we kind of both kind of looked at each other and went, let's get on with it. But then we had the disaster of not being able to get pregnant. You know, years went past and we were like, oh, it's not happening. You know, I was writing in the diary and I knew everything that was going on in my body and when was a good time, and it just never happened. So whilst I was actually just started doing Sunday in the Park with George, with David, and we'd just come into the West End, and I thought, I'm going to go to the doctors about this and see if anything can be done or if I'm doing something wrong. And we both did a few tests, and then I went in and had a meeting, but Ray couldn't be there because he was filming. But I just assumed it was going to be another. And how are you? And because we'd done all the flushing of the tubes, right, and, you know, they do all these things, and you think, well, none of it seemed to help. And ultimately, I went for this meeting before a show, and the guy very abruptly said, you know, unexplained infertility, getting pregnant naturally kind of isn't going to happen for you. You have to really seriously...
But if it's unexplained, how can he say...
Because I think as well, because I was like 38, right. He was thinking, the clock is ticking, we've done the flushing of the...
Yes.
Tubes.
We've done A, B and C.
We've done a few
D.
of those things, yeah. And we don't have the time to explore all the other options.
Yes, right.
I think that was his...
Yeah, right.
But it was a bit of a shock for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. He said, so have you thought about IVF? And I went, not at all. Okay. He said, well, why isn't your other half here? I went, well, we just thought it was going to be... Yeah. He said, well, you need to consider that. And you can have, you know, a go on the NHS or whatever it was. So he gave me some... sort of half photocopied leaflet. It literally was half, most of it wasn't on there. And I went back to work going, oh, I can't have children. And it was really upsetting for a while, especially as the show I was doing was all about, all my character went on about, well, she was pregnant most of it. And in act one, it was just about her loving this man and having this child and making the man, saying to the man, please notice us and settle and have this life, have a normal life. But he didn't, so she sacrificed her love for him and took her child away from him and married someone else that really wanted her and the child. So I was looking at that, and then act two was, my song was called Children and Art. I always remember.
God, that song kills me.
And it's the best song ever.
Beautiful.
But all it says is, all we have in the world and all we can ever put
give
down and give to the world
generations.
Is children and art. Yeah. And I was in just in that place where every one of those words was like, felt so weighted.
Yeah.
So that was an odd time. And then I started IVF. After I finished Sunday in the Park, I started IVF and I was doing... what's it called? Amy's View with Peter Hall.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't really tell anyone I was doing the IVF because I thought it'll be fine, but it's quite full on.
Yeah.
And they
physically,
yeah.
So explain what it involves.
Well, if I can remember correctly, because it was a while ago, when I did it, you injected yourself every day in order to shut down your system. So you kind of put yourself in a enforced menopause, I guess.
Right, yeah.
So you feel quite, you know, you're pumped full of a certain hormone which shuts everything down.
Right.
And then at the point where they all deem it good, you're then flooded with the other hormone to produce as many eggs as possible.
Right.
When the eggs are sufficiently there, and you feel it.
God.
You feel it. You feels like you've got big old jiggly grapes in you. Mm. Then they go in and they take the eggs out.
Yeah.
And then they hope that the eggs are good.
Yeah.
You kind of have a few days of calming down, and then they put the eggs back in and hope for the best.
Right.
But it kind of, the preparation bit, when I did it, was about a month and a half.
Yeah.
But of course, you have to start it at a certain time.
Yeah.
Then you do the month and a half of the injections to shut everything down. And I remember Peter Hall going, you know, you need to, I can't hear you. What, you want me to say it louder and faster? Is that it? Really out of character with me, really being...
Yeah, yeah.
Short-tempered, and I was like, oh, this is the bloody IVF. I'm like a mad woman. This is horrible. So I got through the first one, and it didn't work. And then I thought...
How did that feel?
It was horrible. I think that thing with pregnancy, when you do IVF, it's a kind of blessing and a curse, because you know exactly what's going on all the time.
Yes, yes.
But also there's the other part of you that goes, I shouldn't know that
No.
This day the egg will be this size, and if it multiplies by this much on the second day, this is it. You go, oh, I just... Yeah, I would love to just be someone saying, oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it just be natural and easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, it, you know, and the drugs do affect you. Yeah. And I've realised I was, twice I became hyperstimulated, which is when I was going to go and get the, one time when I was going to go and get the eggs taken out, and Ray was driving me to the clinic, like, any bump in the road, not even like a sleeping policeman bump, just any dip in the road, I was like in agony. And I walked into the surgery and I fainted. I was in hospital for a week, and I hadn't realised that when you hyperstimulate, you produce too many eggs, and all the water from your vital organs goes to make the eggs. And people die. People die from hyperstimulation. I mean, I didn't. They caught it. They pumped me full of, you know, saline, you know, water solutions. I don't know what they were.
Yeah.
but I was in hospital for a week, and till my ovaries calmed down. It was horrible.
Gosh.
And that happened to me twice, because I think the doctor I was under was... I read an article about this, and I thought it was very true, actually, in comparison to... I eventually had it done in New York. Excuse me. they were saying in this article, is a woman writer saying in this article, that in this country, and I don't know whether things have changed, there's a massive kind of macho element to IVF of produce as many eggs, pump the woman full of drugs, right. Produce all these eggs. And actually, all you need is one good egg.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was being pumped with too many drugs for my body, so I was overproducing. Yeah. But you're sold this kind of thing by the doctors of, yeah, but if you've got 20 eggs, or if you've got 40 eggs...
Then you're more likely to get
pregnant, because one of those eggs will be good.
But of the course, collateral damages.
Also, if you produce 3 eggs... It's like, oh, you've only got 3 eggs. But that, all you need is one good egg.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, when I tried it a few times here, and it just wasn't working. And, it was quite sad. And I was coming up to, you know, I was 39 then. And then Sunday in the Park with George, you know, David rang up and said, right, we're going to Broadway. Come to Broadway. I was like, yeah, but I'm in the middle of IVF. And I'd stopped working to try and just concentrate on that and not put myself in any stress. And after a lot of chat, we decided that I would go to New York, but I would do IVF when I was in New York.
Mm.
So I Googled.
Oh my goodness.
IVF doctors in New York. And I found this guy called Dr. Chang on Park Avenue. And... he does a thing called IVF Light, where he really gives you minimal drugs.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anyone at work. I kept it quiet because I didn't want to burden anyone with it. And I know, you know, with those kind of things, given my past, I thought if I get ill, I feel bad. So I thought, just do it.
Yeah.
It's your own little thing.
Yeah.
You and Ray know about it and keep it quiet. I did tell a couple of members of the cast who were brilliant and really supportive.
Because also it affects, I mean, that show, as you've just explained, it's
very emotional.
Children, is so integral to it.
Yeah.
And it's very emotional. So especially when you're having hormones, you know, whizzing around your body, and added to which the extra stress and tension of,
and the feeling of time running out.
Yes.
And I really did feel like, oh my goodness, this is my last shot.
Is it the, you were 39 at
I was,
that point.
Yeah, I must, yeah.
Is that, do you think that with, I think, well, I'll tell you what I think.
No. Go on.
that 40 is this, such a spectre for women at that point, in whatever your situation, that actually, so you feel like time's running out, because I mean, I felt like 40 was the, and it's nonsense because I had my...
Yeah, how old were you when you had your first?
I had my first 3 weeks before my 40th birthday.
Okay.
And then Sadie when I was just 41.
Yeah, I had Betsy when I was 41.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the, but you know, you sort of think, well, you know, it doesn't.
And you're called a geriatric, aren't you? On your notes.
Yeah.
Geriatric. What do they call you? Geriatric. Sapien or something. It's a really weird.
Oh, I don't. I can't remember.
Maybe they kept that away from me.
I'm geriatric.
Yes. Yes.
There's life in me. Yes.
Yes,
but it is a whole. Yeah, it's a whole way of being that's that I couldn't shake that feeling that, you know, and obviously it's because things do start slowing down, but not at 40. It's not like you wake up on your 40th birthday and suddenly, you know, things go or change or whatever. No. It's kind of different.
And also it's individual, isn't it? A girlfriend of mine she's a conservation biologist, so she's always on the blimmin' computer and she's working things out, and you know, whether this animal's going to survive and what the percentages of that. And when I was going through my kind of IVF hell here, and you know, I say, no, because my doctor, when I said I'm going to go to New York, can I take my notes, because I knew taking my notes would save me an awful lot of money in New York, because I'd had all the blood tests. And he was furious. I mean, he was furious because I think he thought he was going to get another couple of grand out of me.
Right.
And he said to me, you know, well, you know, you're going to go to New York. Oh, right. Well, some women don't want to have children. And I thought, what?
Meaning
that...
It won't work there.
A, it won't work there. You're thinking of your career, obviously. And maybe you don't want children after all. And I thought, well, I've done it 3 times with you. And he did say to me, he said to me, if you make a habit of fainting when you come to have the eggs taken out. I said, I didn't faint.
A habit implies that you did that on purpose.
Yes. Oh, it was horrible.
I felt
all this guilt of that as well, because I thought, am I being selfish going to New York? But thank God I did, because I found this doctor.
Oh my God, sorry.
And he did. I know, he was horrendous.
But also that whole thing, I've just been listening to an episode, it's another podcast called Decoder Ring, which is quite good. And it journalistically looks at cultural phenomena, you know, that aren't necessarily looked at in other things. And one of them was the whole Jennifer Aniston thing and how she was kind of portrayed as this sad woman because
she was childless.
Yeah. And in some places as this kind of like crazy, crazed, ambitious woman, you know, who didn't care about family because all she cared about was her career, you know. And you just think, why does it have to be one or the other? You'd never make those charges to a man.
Never.
And
never.
I remember someone saying to me, and I was quite young, I was probably early 30s or something, and someone just casually, a bloke obviously, saying kind of, quite casually, oh, well, you've made a decision that career is more important to you than children. It's like, no, I've just met some real dickheads.
Yeah.
Do you know
what I mean? But I think that's not my choice. The thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't think I wanted kids until I met Ray.
Yeah.
And when I met Ray, I thought, a whole different life.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly the idea of if he turned around to me one day and said, will you marry me, that I wouldn't throw up. Ooh, I would go, actually, yeah. Or, you know, go, oh, this is a shame because I quite like being with you, but I don't want to marry you.
Yeah.
But suddenly when I met him, I just didn't meet him till I was, 30?
Yeah.
And we weren't in a position till I was 35 of really being in a place where it felt right for both of us to go ahead with having children, contemplating having children.
I'm just so astounded that a doctor said that to you.
Oh, but apparently, I mean, I won't name any names, obviously, but I know other women that had gynecological issues, not IVF, but he was like a gynae doctor, and he was awful to them too. Yeah. So I remember when I had Betsy.
He's sort of bullying slightly.
Oh, he was horrible. Yeah. But there's that kind of thing that I think that comes with, I'm sure it comes with a lot of consultant doctors, and certainly with IVF doctors, is they get that kind of, not all of them, but some of them, and he certainly did, had that kind of God complex. Because, of course, there's all these people go to him desperate, and he's like their saviour. He gives them the thing that they can't have. He creates life.
And as I think a male, that it's yeah. an extra layer to that.
He was a twat, basically.
Right, yeah. God.
But I remember seeing him in a restaurant in... where was I? It was a lovely Italian restaurant, and Betsy was about 4 months old.
Oh,
and he came in, and there was a big group of us, and I literally was hiding Betsy. I was hiding her because I thought I cannot have the conversation with him where he goes, "Oh, you've had a baby,"
yeah.
and him have any give me any side eye on it because yeah. I will punch him in the head.
Yeah.
Given what he'd said to me when I said that I was going to go to New York and try IVF whilst I was there.
But how wonderful that he didn't. He wasn't the person who made that happen.
No, I'm thrilled about
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah.
Shitbag.
Yeah. God. So you're in New York, you're doing a Broadway show yeah. and you're doing IVF at the same time
yes.
as you do.
As you do, casually yes. as you do.
And were there any situations where, because I know someone who did IVF and, you know, she's sort of having to go into the loo and inject herself and, you know, were there any situations where you're having to do that? And
no, actually no, because, I mean, I guess that's a nice thing as well about working in Manhattan. And living in Manhattan, you don't really have to go far.
No, right, yeah.
I didn't have any other... All I had to do was the show and have a nice time.
Yeah.
And jump in a cab and go up to Park Avenue and, you know, the injections I did. I told him about my experiences in the past and my fears about becoming hyperstimulated because it had happened.
Yeah.
And he explained to me that he really does... this light version of IVF
yeah.
that only produces a few eggs. He said, that won't happen. I'll monitor you, but it won't happen anyway.
Yeah.
Because his ethos was...
Less if you is more.
Yeah, exactly. Good quality eggs, but not loads of them.
Yeah.
And I think I ended up producing 4 eggs. But I had 2 shows. I had 2 shows on the egg collection day. So I went in the morning, me and Ray, and... out came the eggs, and he was just such a cheery soul. He just had, "Hello, how are you?"
Yeah.
Sort of this kind of fuck it attitude. He wasn't at all precious. Took them away, then, you know, you get a phone call from the people a couple of days later saying, 2 of them are doing really well. I begged him, because he said, "I only put 1 in." I said, "Oh, please put 2 in,
yeah.
just in case,
yeah,
just
yeah,
in case
yeah.
one falls away, because it's my last shot at it,
yeah,
really."
Yeah.
So he agreed to that. Popped in the 2 eggs that were doing well again on a matinee day.
Yeah.
And then I went every day for blood tests.
So hang on, so on a matinee day, which means 2 performances,
2
one
shows,
in the afternoon,
yeah.
one in the evening.
So I had the eggs popped in first thing in the morning.
In the morning, and then did 2 shows.
Yeah, then got my corset on.
Holy.
My tight corset.
Of course. Oh my goodness.
Corset on, 2 shows.
And how did that affect your performance doing that there?
You know, I think it was a really good thing. New York is a strange environment to work in. It's not like London, A, because it is an alien thing. Also, there feels like there's a lot of pressure there. There does. And
yeah.
Everyone I know who goes there has either thrived on the pressure and enjoyed it, or found it really, oh my goodness, we don't work like that
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
It's much more the awards and working towards...
Quite cutthroat.
It is. It's
yeah,
very,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it's big business. It's
yeah.
big business.
Yeah.
And it is a proper theatre town.
Yeah.
So I found that possibly looking back, doing the IVF was really kind of good, because I wasn't...
It kept you grounded.
Yeah, I wasn't buying into the other stuff that was going on and just going, this is lovely and fun, because
yeah,
I loved the show. I mean, I loved the show. I loved it. Felt every night doing it felt like a privilege.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was doing something I was unhappy in.
No, yeah.
I was, you know, I'd skip to work every day. So the environment, and also I think because when I found out I couldn't get pregnant, doing the show for a little while, kind of it took the shine off it, because it felt like it was too everything was too magnified but then when I was doing something about it and doing the show,
it felt okay
felt okay
yeah 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 yeah
And also I kind of, in the emotional moments, because I think IVF can make you very emotional because of the drugs going through your system, it was probably healthy that I was in a show where I got to scream and shout a bit and cry a bit. And
you got to let it out.
There was a release. There was a release.
Gosh, that's almost like it's actual literal kind of drama therapy.
Oh, it kind of was. It kind of was.
Wow.
In a good way, you know. I mean, that's a great thing about theatre, though. You know, you can get rid of the shit of the day.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're aware of that, and you know, singing is the best therapy of anything. I mean, I say to people who aren't actors all the time, if you can join a choir, just join a choir. It's so good for you to be breathing deeply and making noise.
Yeah.
Especially with other people where you don't feel the pressure of making a beautiful sound.
Yes.
But the collective...
Yes, it's an amazing thing.
...act of singing and what that does to you, to your psyche and to your... how you breathe, how you hold yourself, how you're interacting with other people.
Work together.
It really, so it is therapeutic, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make
totally
sense?
Totally know what you mean, yeah.
So I doing the IVF, all going well. It was a lovely, lovely summer, beautiful, and Ray was with me. And then we got the phone call saying that, and they never say you're pregnant, which is interesting.
Oh, what do they say?
We're cautiously optimistic.
Oh, wow.
And they were they were on it. I don't know whether they do that over here, but every day I had to get a cab, have a blood test.
Right.
And, you know, of course, because of the fact that I wanted it to be true so badly, that's when the nerves kind of came in and I was... because you can't feel a heartbeat. I didn't feel sick.
No,
I didn't have any of those things.
Early.
But in the books that I was reading, it was saying, week two, you're starting to throw up and your nipples are doing this.
Yeah.
And I was looking and nothing was happening.
Yeah. So how long before you... So they said cautiously optimistic, which means you're pregnant, but we don't know...
Yeah, whether it will stay, we don't know. So one of the eggs fell away.
Right.
As they say.
Right.
But... I can't believe now having that Ray and I were really upset about not having twins. I can't imagine how knackering.
Oh my God.
But we were both like, that's really sad.
Yeah, yeah.
We could have had twins for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I guess, again, so many people, you don't know these things if you're just getting pregnant naturally.
No, of course not. It sounds, and also it's been so hard.
Yeah.
You just think, great, then I get, back
get both
buck.
Of them.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So how long was it before you felt you could kind of be confident in your pregnancy?
Oh, I don't think I ever was confident in my pregnancy.
God,
I don't think I ever was. I really wasn't sick. The 3 months went by. I remember. I think they did a heart, check for a heartbeat at 8 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
And Ray had to go home for filming. But luckily my mum was with me, and that was something else, hearing the heartbeat, because it suddenly felt real.
Yeah.
And seeing a scan,
yes.
I was beside myself.
Yes.
And then our show finished, and I remember I wouldn't pick up a heavy bag. I kind of threw myself into,
I'm not going to do anything. But
And the airport going, the guy said, can you put your bag on the thing? I went, I'm sorry, I'm very early in my early stages of my pregnancy. I'm not risking it. You'll have to pick it up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And you're like going, okay. And we're kind of thinking, my child.
Yeah.
But we had the Tony Awards. I haven't told you about that bit.
My God.
And we were nominated for Tony Awards. I remember sitting there in my fancy frock. And it was the year that Patti LuPone did... Gypsy, and it was a shoo-in that she was going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, she'd be given everything awards wise. But I sat there, I thought I hadn't prepared anything, and I was 2 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, please don't let this be a major upset, because I don't want to be shocked. I really, and having to stand on the stage and make a speech that I haven't prepared in front of 6,000 people. Because I just thought, well, it's not going to happen. Just have a really nice night.
Yes.
But when they were saying our names, I thought, oh, Lord, what if there is a shock? I'm just going to sit here and not get up. Anyway, it was all fine. Patty won. I smiled and clapped and went to the party for an hour.
I mean, talk about, you said you were more grounded. I mean, that's the epitome of that, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's nice. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It was, I think I was saved. I dodged a bullet there because I can see how, I can totally see how one can get
if you were in a different situation. Yeah, you could. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really did look at it and go, this is great fun, and how wonderfully ridiculous.
I can enjoy it, yeah.
But I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to drag myself into any self-doubt or judge myself. I've got what I wanted, my pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went home and did some telly, and the pregnancy was fine. Although I panicked a lot. I bought one of those heartbeat monitors.
Yeah.
And I used to, and when she started kicking, that's when I felt a bit safer, I think, because I could feel, when you can feel them moving around.
Yeah, I think it gradually becomes more and more, you sort of think, right, you're becoming a person, therefore you're kind of a bit more robust, aren't you? Yeah, yeah.
So and what is it, the 28 weeks or something, you think, well, if they're born now, chances are they'll be all right.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It's all about that, isn't it?
I forget.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But I remember looking in the book, you know, that week by week pregnancy book.
Yes, God, I was obsessed with
that. Me too. Yeah. And I used to not look at the next page.
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil it for myself.
Same.
But I remember turning over and there was one page and it went in the little box in the corner. This week, I mean, how the fuck do they know?
Yes, I know.
This week, your baby's vocal cords. And I remember sobbing, thinking, my child.
Yes.
My child's voice.
Yes, I remember with Zach, quite early on, and this sort of doesn't make sense, but it was, I think there was something they say really, like, crazily early on, like 6 weeks in or something, and they say, if your baby is a girl, which obviously I didn't know that it was actually a boy, but if your baby is a girl, she'll be growing ovaries right now.
Whoa.
And that's when you think, I think pregnancy makes you really feel like an animal anyway.
Yes,
when you think, God, that's the priority.
Yeah.
You know, legs, arms, whatever, eyelashes, whatever. But ovaries are the first thing. You know, and that made me feel quite, I still find that so incredible.
Well, you're born, aren't you? You're born with
all your eggs.
With all of your eggs. It's an extraordinary concept, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's extraordinary concept.
Yeah. Once Betsy was born, was parenting or having a baby quite a doddle compared to what you'd gone through? No.
No. Was it easy for you?
No, God, no, I'm not saying that. But I kind of feel like a few things we've talked about before are that if you've had and everyone has a spanner in the works, but at different points, you know, so some people have a dreadful birth, some people have real difficulty breastfeeding, you know, there's a point at which you go, this isn't going to go the way I thought it would go. And then that sometimes helps because you kind of realise, oh, actually, this, none of it's going to go the way I want it to go.
Yeah.
It's all slightly chaotic and I'm going to have to just roll with the punches.
Yeah.
So I wondered whether that experience might have been,
I remember near the end of my pregnancy, I just said to my mum, I just want her to come out so I know she's all right. I just want her to be born, and I know that she's okay.
Yeah.
And I remember my mum just looking me in the face. She went, "Yeah, but you never get rid of that feeling."
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, "What do you mean?" She went, "Well, when they're born, then you worry they're going to die.
Yeah.
Then you worry they're going to get their teeth at the right time. Then you worry they're going to be able to look after themselves or whatever." She said, "That never goes away.
Yeah.
This is kind of it."
Yeah.
And I remember going,
"Yeah, get used to that feeling because you'll have it forever."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was born. It was quite a traumatic pregnancy, but birth. But I think most women I talk to have some amount of trauma.
Yeah.
And we don't tell each other because otherwise we'd never have children.
Yeah.
So I go, okay. But it's bizarre how 2 years later you go, I can have another kid. When I had Betsy, I was like, well, that's it, I'm never going through that again. And really stressful for Ray. Yeah. Watching, we had an emergency cesarean.
Oh, right.
And they'd put the epidural in and then they messed that up, so they did it higher. But when on the table, they did a higher one. But then he thought I'd had a stroke.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't hold the baby and I couldn't speak. And I started shaking. He was, bless him. He was beside himself. He thought something horrible had happened.
Yeah.
Where I just, the drugs, because I seem to absorb drugs very, very well. Oh God, I'm a cheap night out. So that was quite. And you know, when you're, and then they'd say your husband can't stay with you. So you're, luckily they gave us a little room. So I was in a room on my own. But I just had a cesarean and the baby was in a cot thing and Ray had gone home and it was night time and they come in and turn all the lights off. Yeah. And the baby was crying and I couldn't get out of the bed, thing. Yeah. And then eventually this woman came in, midwife type person, I don't know, and she just popped the baby next to me and kind of whapped my boob out, but my milk didn't come through. She was crying, anyway, they were brilliant the next day when Ray was there, and things got sorted out, and in about 4 or 5 days my milk came through. And I was so determined to do one thing naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I couldn't have the baby, so I had bloody cesarean. I couldn't get pregnant naturally. Yeah, I had IVF. I want to breastfeed, so I managed that. And that was lovely. And she was, she never really slept. And she's 9 now, and she's only just started the last 6 months sleeping through. Just overactive imagination. Mummy, I can't sleep.
And then would she come into your bed or she'd just come and tell you?
She'd come and tell me. There were various forms. Sometimes I'd go into bed with her. Sometimes she'd get in the bed.
My feeling is, it's not going to last.
Exactly.
He's not going to be doing this when he's 15.
Exactly.
Exactly.
No. And,
But also, to be fair to David, what happens is that as he comes in and then he cuddles. Mummy, cuddle me. And he's like this. And I'm like, okay, darling. And then he's got funny toes. Oh. Funny nails on his toes.
And he digs them into David.
And so David gets this kind of talons.
Yeah, does that. Really strong. Why do they have such strong toes?
I don't know. But yeah, it's quite funny. So yeah, David's on the other end going, I can't do this.
Exactly the same as Ray.
Yeah.
And then he every night, Betsy, please sleep. Daddy needs, really reasonable things he was saying to her for years. And you go, it's not going to change. It only, we tried cranial osteopathy, which did work.
Right.
For about 6 months.
Yeah.
Typically when Ray was on tour. So I don't know whether he believes me, but I said, honestly, that night she slept all night.
Yeah.
But it lasted about 6 months.
Yeah.
But this time, I think she's old enough to understand if she wakes up in the night, it's all okay. We're only next door. It's fine.
It's funny. I do remember, I must have done it pretty old. I didn't do it every night, but I did it enough to remember it. And I remember just, I think it would be more, I think we all wake up, don't we, when we're asleep, and then we just go back to sleep. And most of the time we're just not aware, as adults, we're not even aware that we do it. But I definitely remember going up to my mum's room in the night and just that feeling of like a complete security.
Yeah.
I kind of remember, and I want my kids to have.
Yeah.
If whatever way they choose to take that, and ideally not every night, but just that feeling.
Yeah, it's they're all not right. Going, I'm here.
It's okay,
yeah.
I'm here. That's all we need to do. And then they go to sleep like that.
Yeah. Completely fast asleep. That's the thing as well, isn't it? When they're babies, that you're putting them in their cot and you're all swaddled and stuff. And actually, if you put them in the bed next to you, A, it's so easy for breastfeeding. Off you go. But I slept better because I knew all I had to do was open my eyes and there she was.
Yeah.
And you know, she must have felt better because she'd wake up and there was Mum or the smell of me next to her. Right, I don't know. Yeah. It makes sense. My best friend Jackie does all that. You know, she's with the La Leche League and her children went, both Steiner educated and in the bed as long as they wanted to be. In fact, her husband made this massive bed with this area kind of above their heads that he'd built for the kids. You know, there was one kid and then there was another kid.
Oh, wow.
But this area where they were there, but they were kind of just a bit higher than them.
Yeah, right.
But it was closed, you know, the sides were up.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't fall out.
Yeah.
And it had made it. It was beautiful to sort of incorporate this kind of...
Yeah, feeling
of... Kind of hippie fabulousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could have very easily gone down that route.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I could have done.
No,
David, not so much.
No issue. But I'm still like that with her now. Please don't leave, Mummy. You know, we can convert the garage.
I know.
And she's like, no, but I'm you know, I'll come visit. How often? How can we make a contract?
Yes, can we just... I'll tell you what, why don't we just agree it now?
Agree it
before
now.
Before you grow up.
Negotiate.
Legally binding contract.
That you have to be home.
Yeah.
All the time.
My mum, I remember saying, I grew up in Raines Park, which is, you know, for those people who don't know, sort of zone 4 London, you know, takes about just under an hour to get into the West End, whatever. And a little terraced house, and the flat in the house next door was on the market, and one day me and my brother went to visit, and we were in our 20s, whatever, early 20s probably, and she said, and she had a really kind of like, I think you're going to like what I've got to say look on her face, and she said, listen, I see the flat next door is up for sale now, maybe if I really, you know, if I did this and this and this, I could help you buy it, and then you two could share a flat next to me, and we were just laughing at her going,
oh,
you know what, like, why would we want to do that?
Oh, bless her.
I know, and now I look back on it and think, oh, good try there.
Good effort,
yeah,
Mom.
Good try, but no.
All she was a step away from saying, we'll get a little door.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been the next, that would have been step two.
So we can be separate.
Yes, but and
together.
Yet together.
Keep the door open.
Yeah. She should have done a little contract.
I'll babysit when you have children.
Yeah.
It's all perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes, and you can stay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, yeah, that was funny.
Oh, bless her.
Oh, no.
I will be doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, obviously.
Absolutely the same thing.
Yeah, my God.
I can't imagine her not being...
No, I know.
...there. I find school even sometimes hard work.
Yeah.
Ray took... She had some little concert-y thing. On Saturday, I was working. Was it Saturday? Sunday, and I was working. And he said they did the concert-y thing, like 9:30 in the morning at church down the road. She said, and then they were walking back to the car with another set of parents and their child. And Betsy and the other child came up and went, oh, can we go and have a play date at this child's house?
Yeah.
And Ray was like, yeah, okay. I thought, that's great. He said, it got to 5 o'clock. He said, and I still hadn't... You know, they were having this fantastic time over at the friend's house.
Yeah.
She said, I really missed her.
Oh, yeah.
Was she going to get Saturday and Sunday with her? And it was like a missing limb
a
day that you think you're going to... I love holidays now. At the age that she is now, it's like having a proper little pal.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Really have a giggle.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because actually, when you say that, really misses her. Like, I don't think I was aware ever of my parents missing me. They must have done. And yet, what do you do? Do you tell your child... You know, you don't want to say... You don't want to load any kind of emotional baggage on them. But actually, then knowing that... I guess you can never really express to your child how much you love them.
Oh, I'm terrible. I do it all the time.
I do it all the time. But I think, in a way, they'll never understand.
No.
Well, she
will.
They have their own children.
And you don't, do you?
No.
You absolutely... I mean, everyone says it. You don't know love until you have a child.
Yeah.
And you think...
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and then you have a child.
And then you have a child and you go, oh.
Yeah.
Because it literally is that thing.
Yeah.
I would put myself in front of
it. Oh, yeah.
Gun,
but it changes your whole...
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, we've sort of I was thinking about this today, so we've talked about this a bit before about how it's difficult to talk about without offending some people who don't have children and kind of say they're, you know, it's not the only thing to life. I'm perfectly,
and it's not
true. Yeah. And exactly. Yeah. But I do think that, you know, and I think often on this, we talk about a lot of the challenges and stuff rather than that pure feeling of just, I mean, you know, totally change. It's like putting a filter on your whole life,
yeah,
that totally changes,
yeah,
your the way you perceive everything, not even your children, your family, but just everything. I have so much more compassion,
yeah, yeah,
than I,
and I worry about the world,
yes, yeah,
I worry about the planet,
yeah,
where before I think wow, I'm 50, then I'm not going to be around for too,
yeah,
long,
yeah,
it'll all go wrong, then at least, yeah, now I'm now not, you're, I'm thinking, yeah, of my child and her children, and
yeah, yeah,
but it's interesting though, because I had totally got to the place where I thought I wasn't going to get pregnant, and I'd work, you know, I'd kind of gone, and I had long, Ray and I had long chats about this and said, we have to not think, we have to think about the fact that this might not happen,
yeah,
and how are we going to be about that,
yeah,
and we have to really kind of know that it's okay,
yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah,
to have kids,
totally, yeah,
and it's not, you know, a game changer for our lives, no, and we have to look at the positives, go, we can have more holidays,
yeah, yeah,
we can hang out, live together,
yeah,
we can go anywhere in the world, we don't have to be go tied down by, and those I think are extraordinary,
yeah,
you know, if you make that choice, and I've got friends that have made that choice, not because of circumstances that they couldn't have children, but because, yeah, they've gone, do you know what, I love my life,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
I love my life with my other half, my significant other, and we don't want,
yeah,
we don't want a kid,
yeah, yeah,
or it's just, or he doesn't, and I've come to terms with the fact that that's okay, or,
and also better to do that,
vice versa,
you know, I, lots of people of our sort of parents' generation who lived in a different society whereby it was more difficult to make that decision, and I think,
yeah,
even now it's quite difficult to make that decision,
yeah,
socially. I think people are just cannot get their heads around the fact that you would choose not to have children
or more than one,
yes, exactly,
well. When are you gonna have another one?
Just like, I'm not gonna have enough, fit their template.
No,
and that must be really hard, and I know equally for a long time I didn't fit that template. Why aren't you, you know, why, well, for me for ages, you know, why aren't you going out with someone? Why aren't, you know, it's like, well,
yeah,
what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Loads of failed relationships. Do you know what I mean?
Fair,
I didn't,
yeah,
really want to go through that with,
yeah,
just someone who I've just bumped into in, you know, a party,
yeah,
or something like that.
No.
Really,
people,
yeah,
do. People do.
You know.
Put those little judgy filters,
yeah,
on. They do.
Yeah.
Lorraine and I had, I remember there was a time quite early on when we were both so tired. And I remember Ray saying to me, where's my life gone?
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And you see couples walking down the street, or, you know, where I live, on the beach.
Yeah.
Pootling around. And they're, you know, either don't have children, you're kind of jealous.
Yeah.
Or they're kind of pregnant and you think, you haven't got a clue.
Yes, 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 yes.
What's coming? And get, rest up, I always say,
yes,
get as much,
yeah,
sleep, and you, they look at you, go, yeah, I'm sleeping all the time. You go, yes, and you never will,
yes,
again.
Yes, you never will again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not in the way that you used to.
No.
I mean, I feel like I've got this sixth sense. If there's a noise, I'm like that.
Oh, do I?
I can,
no,
hear,
I can
hear her rolling about in the bed. I say to her, because she's like, you know, turn the telly down in case I need you. I said, Betsy, I can hear you when you go to the loo.
Yeah.
I can hear you when you sneeze. It wakes me up. Don't worry, I've got your back.
Yeah, yeah.
I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
At all moments of the day.
Yeah, no, I don't have that problem. It annoys David. I'm like a canary. Just put a blanket over my cage and I fall asleep.
Fabulous, fast,
yeah,
asleep.
Absolutely fast asleep. Really bad snorer as,
oh,
well.
I'm a bad snorer,
yeah,
apparently. But he snores, but I do,
yeah,
get that nudge,
yes,
a few times,
yeah,
in the night. Maybe it's got worse as I've,
yeah,
got older.
Yeah,
not nice, is it?
No. So what would you say to someone who's pregnant now if they wanted advice about what to do?
Oh, I always say sleep. Just enjoy sleeping. I say don't bother buying anything in the shops because you can get it all online. Walking around pregnant looking at...
Stupid.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
And also, people send you so many things, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You end up with so much stuff.
Yeah.
No, I know, I'm just always happy. I'm happy for people because you go, oh, it's such a life-changing thing.
Yeah. I found myself, I did a voiceover yesterday and a young producer and she was early, you know, 3 months pregnant, but I didn't notice when I walked in. So she said, oh, I'm pregnant. You know, we were talking and she said she was pregnant. And I found myself sort of just like, you know, my whole body kind of melted. And I went, oh, wow, that's, you know, congratulations that you're asking all lots of questions. And she looked at me in a way that I suddenly realised I looked at people when they asked that of me. I think, how could you possibly, it's a cynical old bag, I think, how could you possibly care enough?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't care about, why are you, why do you care that much?
Why are you cooing all
over?
Yeah, you know.
And now, and then when I saw it back at me yesterday, I thought, it's because I know how it's going to, like...
Impact.
Immeasurably change your life for the better. And how, and what a... And yes, it's going to be a slog, and yes, you're not going to be able to sleep and all that kind of thing, but it won't... It doesn't matter.
No.
You know, that actually it is...
And ultimately, incredible. You forget all the shit bits. You do. You do forget all the shit bits.
Yeah.
Or the bits that you think, I'm never going to master this. I don't know what to do in this moment. Why... How do I manage this moment? And as time goes on, you forget about those things. Also, I'm really aware of just going with the flow of it. You know, the teachers at my school, my daughter's got dyslexia and she really struggles, but she's really got a positive angle on it.
Mm.
But, you know, me and Ray were really worried for her. She can't read, she doesn't want to read, her spelling is terrible. But the teachers keep going... It will just happen later with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But she will not leave school not being able to spell.
No.
She may struggle with reading a lot, but she'll find her way. She'll find her way. It's okay. And I'm that's the thing I'm kind of learning about being a mum, is going, she'll find her way. All you can do is, you know, put them in an environment where they're loved and cared for and supported, but ultimately they'll find their way through, won't they? But I just always think, you know, just let them know you love them. Give them, don't criticise, they'll get there. Whatever way, they'll get there. Life's too short. And, you know, I tell her endlessly, get emotional. But I tell her endlessly, she's my miracle. My life is... infinitely better with her in it, and I didn't think for a long time I was going to have her in it, but here she is, and every day is just a miraculous thing.
And making me cry now.
I also say to her, you were made in New York and born in Margate. Ninja child.
We genuinely were both crying at the end of that conversation. I think we both have that, I'm sure all parents have this, but I think when you've really had to come close to imagining not having children, which I did for different reasons, you're just so crazy grateful to have them. Anyway, thank you so much to Jenna. It was just so great talking to her. And I hope you enjoyed that episode. I'm not quite sure which episode is next. I'm going to take a little break for Christmas. I'm recording this on my anniversary, just before Christmas. It was a slightly silly time to get married, let's be honest, but there we go. And so I'm going to get back to editing as soon as I can. I'm not quite sure which one I'm going to put out next, but it'll be a good one, don't worry. Anyway, happy Christmas, everybody, and I will see you in the new year.
Bye-bye.